This recording was made during an appearance by the Citizen Lobbyist on the David Mike Show on the morning of June 27th, 2012. Picks up as a discussion about the school board and the school district meetings is coming to a close before talking about the assembly meetings upcoming on the 28th of June. Enjoy.
They have a pretty good feel now for what their budget's going to be, and they talked a little about their projections of, you know, we don't really have any secure funding. There's no forward funding in the state right now, so this is what it is this year. We did well. We didn't have to lay people off. We're hiring people back, but that all depends on how many kids end up being enrolled and also what they end up the legislature does next year. It's going to be a very interesting year. The price of oil is dropping. You know, what they did get from the state and the borough basically kept up with this with inflation, so it could be a very challenging year. They're also looking at employee negotiations, so funding is going to be front and center again, as it always is with education, next year.
Right, and that's something that you know, when you come to a meeting and a school board is talking about large numbers and I think the difficulty that people have is understanding quite the size of the district, the number of employees, the number of students, what happens each day. And if you were to walk through and say, okay, let's think about what's happened, whether it's at Trapper Creek, Wasilla, or Palmer, and each one of those schools, just to visit every school, which is something that very often a school board member attempts to do when they first particularly get onto the school board.
Right.
But just to do that, when you think about it, and to spend a few hours at each time, it takes a few months. It's not as if this is a single place, one building situation. And the complexities that are involved in ensuring that at all those levels, from kindergarten on up to the 12th grade, that there are good curriculum in place, the teachers are prepared and ready to go and have the resources necessary to do their job.
Right, which is always the bottom line. Yeah, I mean, that's a really good point. I mean, we have 44 schools. You know, in 2,500 square miles, the amount of miles in this district that the schools are spread out with. And we have a lot of small schools, which, you know, are expensive to run, but vital to communities, which use them for much more than just a school. One of the school board meetings this year was up in Talkeetna. And they certainly are proud of their school, and they use that as a big community center to engage families for a whole lineage of things. And the schools have really changed their policy in the last couple of years, trying to engage the community. We have to keep in mind that about 22% of the population only have kids in school. So the rest of us have, you know, don't have kids or are passing, have passed that point. And so we need to keep our communities engaged. And there's a lot of pressure on schools now to make those facilities open to the public and used for more than the purpose they were built. You know, and education takes cycles. Designs take cycles. And so, you know, there is a move, you know, to try to make those things more friendly. And there's some retrofitting that has to take place to make it secure for kids and for employees. And you know, it's a struggle everywhere, but I think Alaska has some special geographic climate personnel just because of the amount of people that are here and are trained. The district, I think, has really stepped up in the last few years. They're now, you know, will be the second largest district, and they're being looked at as the leader at this point on a lineage of things. And that's, you know, come with some changes at the top and a better financial picture than they've been able to tell at this store at this point. So it's been a big transition, and it's a big, you know, big job that they have there, and a lot of people, a lot of players involved, as you said.
Right, and walking around just yesterday, passing by one of the school buildings and noticing the maintenance that was being done both internally and externally in terms of painting the building, keeping it up so that it will survive for a longer period of time, or looking at fields, playing fields. You know, the if you watch during the summer, there's a lot of soccer played, a lot of people, a lot of kids out there playing, et cetera. And these programs are not directly connected to the school district, but what they do is they lead into a reminder that one of the things that we have schools to do is to not only have kids in classrooms, so you're sitting there learning in one way or another, but you're also able to do things which result, for example, in the work that was done on the new meeting room over at the central office building.
Right, and it's come sort of just in time because now the assembly, of course, is you spoke about earlier, are going to be meeting there. So that's really become a borough-wide facility, very important right now, to allow the construction of more meeting space for, you know, the public at the borough. It's as you brought that up, I was reminded of some testimony that came at that last school board meeting very passionately from a parent and coach that really wants to push forward girls hockey at Wasilla High. He thinks girls hockey is sort of under-supported, and there's some of course we have a great example locally, Carrie Ann Whelan, that was a silver medalist right here from Palmer, and he showed several articles from national magazines of hockey players that had been highlighted from the state, and you know, he's asking for a little more support for that. So the district is consistently asked from all different areas of the, you know, sort of the sector of the public who has their own special interests that would like to put forth one thing or another. And there's a big scrambling for money. But getting their infrastructure going, as you spoke about, getting the public behind a five-year plan to not only plan schools, but, you know, allocate the funds for it, is a huge step forward. Something that's not been done in this state, a five-year plan. So,
yeah, and I like, it's interesting, you've used a term which very often is a pejorative term, and that is special interest. And yet I would like to suggest here that special interest is not a bad phrase.
No, not at all.
No. In fact, that's part of the way we do things.
Right.
You know, that if a group gets together and has a special interest, they can support, request, and argue for a particular thing to be done. I think the only time that special interest becomes really as bad as some people would like to think is when you have a limited special interest that controls what is happening and essentially crowds out other groups that have interests as well.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you saw that. I think they've was a group that came forward last year about archery, which is a huge developing sport outside. So, yeah, they are their interest. Maybe it's too bad that we've got given that that special is not
Sure.
looked upon so kindly anymore, but it really is what drives a lot of big programs. They have to start small and get the support behind them, and there's more interest than maybe we think. And
without that passion,
right, and that good leader. So
we've been talking so far about this last school board meeting, and as I remember, the school board is taking a little bit of time off, so they're not going to be back in session with meetings until...
I want to say August...
First week of August.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Not, you know, it looks like a break, but it certainly isn't for the district. Registration starts July 1st. They'll be all online registration. They've really beefed up their mechanism for doing that. So this is going to, you know, they're really hitting the ground running. So the school board takes off till August 1st. There won't be any meetings to the public then, but the school district certainly isn't getting much of a breather as they get all those kiddos signed up and new parents and you know, the school's all equipped and try to get all those construction projects done. And as you say, everything is sort of piled up right now, getting paint and getting spiffed up for the school
year. Well, anybody who's been in schools know that when you walk in the first day of school, the buildings look one way. And when you leave on the last day of school, even though I think that people do a remarkable job of maintaining during the year, it's a time to refresh.
Right.
And in some cases, that refreshing extends to some significant changes, in particular because of the bond monies, some very, very much needed repairs and upgrades.
Right, and I think it should be put in here, too, that they did have a little federal money left from an older federal program called ARA that was around, and they were able to hire 38 kids from the community to work for the summer. And they've had paintbrushes in hand, and that's been sort of our own little stimulus here. It was something that they wanted to do because they would have had to send that unused money back, and it was allowing some kids that may not have gotten jobs otherwise to get in, learn some skills, and add some help in a very short season to refresh and rejuvenate before the next school year. So that was good too.
Good. Well, the school district seems to be moving along okay.
I think so.
And especially since they've been kind enough to offer and welcome the borough in terms of the assembly coming in tomorrow night for that first meeting in that space. So what do you see happening there?
Boy, oh boy, this is one of those sleeper meetings. Originally, there were three meetings scheduled for June to make up for the fact they're only meeting once in July. And they actually canceled the June 19th meeting, so they ended up with this special meeting on a Thursday, which is not a normal day that they normally meet. And it looked like from the introductions it was going to be a pretty, a lot of gas LIDs, sort of a short lift there. But, of course, things that have to be advertised, things like the consent agenda and resolutions and those don't get as long of a introduction as the actual introductions. And this assembly has weighted their resolutions and consent agenda much bigger than in past assemblies, so those get a little bit shorter notice. So they are going to have a full agenda. As I said, they're going to have lots of little housekeeping tasks with gas LIDs that are ready for approval. They've gone through the voting process, and those are on the agenda. They are going to talk about extending the time limit for the completion of their borough capital projects. They have in their general fund sitting in excess of some $3 million in funds that were planned for this back as far as 2008 with the ferry landing, which is, I think, about $1.2 million. Sitting there, and they by code have to come and say, hey, give us more time to complete these projects. So there's a whole list of projects that are sort of sitting there waiting. Some have had some work on them, some like the ferry landing, because of little issues like where are we going to put it, haven't been resolved yet, are sitting there, and they need the assembly to reauthorize them to keep that money in those funds to complete those projects.
Good point.
And in in fairness to certainly this manager, this was sort of a ship without a rudder for a while. Their manager, Mr. Duffy retired some time ago. They were almost a full year without a actual manager. Mr. Moosey has now been there one full year, and he has had an enormous amount on his plate. He's not from Alaska. He had a big learning curve, but he's really worked hard, I think, to keep up with everything that's there. So these projects are things, again, started, as far back as 2008, and there was a vacancy of a lot of department heads. They've now filled in most of those gaps, although they're still actively looking for an assistant borough manager. They had an acting that left a couple of weeks ago, so Mr. Bermosi is without an assistant borough manager. They're actively looking for that. There may be an update at the assembly on that position. So they've filled in some key positions. So that is probably part of the fact that this is such a long list. But there could be some conversation on it of where these projects are and some question about, particularly because a lot of them were authorized before, by prior assemblies. So that's coming back up. The Economic Development Department is asking them to allot $95,000. For their plan to follow through with some work on their goal setting. I read the IM on this. It's not very specific on exactly how they're going to spend that, but it's sort of to further the goals of the assembly, basically, is what it is. They want to hire some consultants and get out there and work on these goals. So I expect some discussion to be about that as well, and maybe some asking of specifically, you know, how that money of $95,000 is going to be allotted out there.
Right. Whoa. So we went from a sleepy little
we've just taken the top off the butter dish here.
Okay. Keep talking.
They're going to transfer. They were asking to transfer almost $400,000 from the school site selection committee money that's there is to acquire borough proper land for future schools. Iditarod School was part of the bond process, and they need a little extra funds to acquire this. I think it's in somewhere around $2 million. It's the property right next door, which is really the only property that satisfied everything on the matrix and what the school site selection wanted. They've been in negotiation with the owner for probably over a year. They've now come to a conclusion, and they're ready for the assembly to authorize the money. So that was a little more money they needed to dip into that particular fund. They're asking for a name change in the Moose Creek Soapstone Community Council area. This is they now would like to be called the Buffalo Mine / Soapstone Community Council area. There may be some little bit of testimony on that. There's a couple of four-way signalized intersections that this being brought forth. A lot of it is to do with around schools and some congestion and you know, around Trunk Road and those mm-hmm. areas. We're getting a lot of road work right now, so those are kind of housekeeping things. Mr. Arvin is bringing forth something for the mayor. This is this could be pretty interesting. It's he's asking that the assembly should pre-approve conceptual plans for borough public improvements, which might result in the loss of farmland. They want Mr. Mayor would like to make sure that our farmland is preserved. Of course, as most of us know and are proud of, Palmer has some of the most important farmland in the entire state. In fact, it does. It's rated as number two on the list of good farmland, the only place in the state that has that. And there's been a little dust up on the school site selection committee is looking for a property for the next school in Palmer, which will be on the next bond after the five-year moratorium. Mm-hmm. And couple of plots have been identified, and a lot of them have been around that inner Springer Loop area, which has really worried the farmers in that area because they, with schools come subdivision, and they don't want to lose their farmland. So this might be kind of interesting that this is brought forward and what the conversation is on that.
Okay.
They are going to, probably the biggest thing on this agenda will be the last agenda brought forward was the authorization to go ahead with the Jim Creek Master Plan. And Mr. Arvin at the last meeting was able to put in there, change the wording on that plan. Instead of the Jim Creek Master Plan, it's now being known as the Jim Creek Motorized Master Plan. So this is already taken something that is quite contentious in that area. There's a lot of conflicts between non-motorized and motorized people. And so there is some amendments coming forth to relook at that and to perhaps rename it in a more multi-use method so that we aren't excluding one group as opposed. So that could be very interesting. I expect there to be testimony on both sides on that particular issue. They're going to, on their consent agenda, all or their action items, it's interesting, this assembly, one of the cuts that they made was a 20% cut to all contractual services for the coming year. Mm-hmm. But yet they're coming through with two or three different authorizations for some increases on some contracts that they have out there for some works to be done. So that'll be kind of an interesting conversation. Maybe I'm reading too much of it.
So where does that money come from when you've done a budget?
General fund, I would think. Yeah, I'm sure they have some general fund money they'll have to come out. So I'm not really sure. It should be an interesting conversation. They're going to authorize all of the road service area, the RSA funds for the coming year. They've put their contracts out to bid on the upcoming winter and the road service for the coming years. There's been a lot of course, we had just a phenomenal year last year. They had some problems in some specific areas. A couple contractors were let go. Some contractors had to take up and finish the job. So they've rebid a lot of different areas, and now those bids have come back in. And they have the assembly's job, of course, as keeper of the checkbook, have to authorize those particular ones. So I don't know if there'll be any talk about that or not. That it could be kind of interesting.
Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a big thing. And of course, you know, it's not just the winter contracts that these contractors have to take care of. It's the summer, the dust control, the grading, the ditching. It's a pretty long area. I'm seeing some names on these contracts that I haven't seen before. They used to have, part of the problem with it is they didn't get a lot of interest from different bidders, and I'm seeing some names now come up that I haven't seen before, so maybe some new companies are actually bidding on some of this work. So that's kind of it. That's sort of it for this particular small agenda, what looked like a small one. I think it's going to be a very interesting meeting, since it's now being held at the school district. It's a whole different seating arrangement. Everybody's sort of out of their element, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So I think it could prove to be a very interesting meeting, just trying to get used to the new digs. And there's lots of space for, I think, that particular space holds about between 200 and 300 people.
Right.
So
right.
They certainly will be able to facilitate everybody under one, you know, little room, as opposed to the assembly chambers now, where people oftentimes on big items end up sitting out in the hall and listening to it over the speakers.
So. Right. I having, as you, watched a number of school board meetings there, and thinking back to the facility that the school board had before, which was in many ways similar. Mm-hmm. I mean, the ability to get a lot of people in, a good view of things. However, the difference... two differences that I think important. One, having people sit across in a line facing the audience rather than looking at one another, it brings in a different process. Secondly, the new school district facility allows you to see people very clearly.
Right.
The video works to focus right on that individual who's speaking. So if you have a member of the assembly or the school board that's going to be talking, they get a big picture view of what they're saying and how they are. The other thing about it, from an audio standpoint, that's our concern as we stream these meetings, the audio in that room is very good. I mean, you hear what's said.
You do.
There's one little difference, though. In the old assembly room, people were wont to grab the neck of that microphone and push it back and maybe not bring it down when you were talking. But that's different here. These mics are there, and when you speak, the speaker has to push the button to speak.
Right.
And you have to learn to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no, you know, pushing it away type of thing. And there's a whole different approach when you're using a mic like that I think is going to be interesting to see.
So. Right. And the speakers, the testifiers at the school board facility are by podium, as opposed to, and this was as Palmer High when they had the future or the past school board meetings, and at the existing horseshoe at the borough building, you sat down at a table and a microphone and spoke. And now it's all done by podium. You're fairly close to where the assembly sits.
Right.
And you can see the person by audio, their face, where it's always been sort of, you hear somebody testify and you're seeing their back, but now it's up on a screen. and you're able to see them testify, which is such, I think, a nice for the audience, too, to be able to see that speaker and not just see his or her backs as they speak. So that's going to change the dynamics of that, too, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And just the, I've always been so sympathetic to the clerks that have to sit at the assembly chambers back in that little corner and try to distribute, you know, things around the table and talk to, you know, try to talk to the attorney, and there's no space at all back there at all. And at the school board, they can freely, you know, walk back and forth back there. And I don't think you'll see a lot of assembly people. I hope you don't. But it'll allow the staff to get up and down as they, you know, have to get things, which will give them a little more area.
Well, and so, it'll be interesting to see, because for the school board, the staff sits down at a table off to the side in the new facility.
In the back.
There's a place up front to the right, but
right,
most of them sit in the back, mm-hmm, and they can come forward to speak, mm-hmm, and so on. And the only person that's up there with the school board is the clerk,
right?
Which is appropriate. So it'll be interesting to see how this works, because in the old assembly chambers, we had the attorney sitting up there, and as well as the clerk. And I guess the question is, will that clerk
clerks, usually.
A clerk at the table and another clerk behind. Mm-hmm. And in this case, it'll change up. So, you know, we talk about this because what we've learned over time, anyone of you who was listening has been in meetings. You probably understand that and you've experienced this. When you go into a meeting, where you sit makes a difference. It makes a huge difference on what happens here. If you get a chance and can get to that meeting tomorrow over in the new district building, the new room at the district building, please get over there. If you stay for a while, if you have you want to testify about something, you certainly do that. And then for those of you who are at home, we'll try our best to make sure that you hear everything. I can tell you our job is a lot easier there.
Right.
And streaming this audio in good quality.
Right. And I think that they might encourage a lot more people to come, just because it's a lot more comfortable facility and it's easier to kind of get in and out, as you said before. And it's certainly not as stuffy as the bottom part of the assembly. So we'll see how it works out. And they're going to, of course, have to share this facility. The school board will be ramping up in August. And so it'll be interesting for these next few months as they have that, you know, shared facility, and we'll see how the dynamics take place on that. So that's the assembly, what's coming up on your assembly tonight, and I would always encourage people to participate. I know it's summer, everybody wants to be doing something else, but this is when a lot of this stuff really comes up and pops its head up, and some of the most benign things are really a bigger topic than you think.
That's true. That's very true. Okay. Well, we're going to go to the bottom of the hour here, and then we'll be moving on with a little bit of music as we move up toward the top of the hour. And we look forward to your return next Wednesday with all the detail about...
Well, you know... 4th of July.
Uh-oh. Wait a second.
Fourth
Pause.
July.
Next Wednesday, we can't do it because we will be here celebrating the 4th of July, but it sounds as if the citizen lobbyist...
I will not be
will
here
not
next
be
week.
Here.
That's
so
right.
We
so
will,
you may...
We will take care of the 4th of July, but the offices actually will be closed then, and then we go on from there.
Right. They won't have a meeting now. I believe their next meeting after this one is something like the 17th of July. So there's quite a time span there in between. So
okay.
We'll have plenty of time to talk about
this. We'll see
you
in 2 weeks then.
All right.
Okay.